Each month we have a psalm of the month that we sing throughout throughout that month, and learn it, memorize it, meditate on it, and let its words dwell in our heart richly. I'll be reading Psalm 87 and giving a meditation on that psalm. Listen to these words of God, Psalm 87. If you're looking for it in your Bible in your seats, it's page 680, 680. A psalm of the sons of Korah, a song. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to those who know me. Behold, O Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this one was born there. And of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself shall establish her. The Lord will record when he registers the people, this one was born there. Selah. Both the singers and the players on instruments say, all my springs are in you. Psalm 87 reveals God's great purpose to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. It starts with God's love for the Jewish people, and it declares his love symbolically through his love for the city of Jerusalem. You might ask, well, why does God love Zion? Why are glorious things spoken of you, O city of God? Why does God love Jerusalem? Well, you and I might love a certain city because of its location, its architecture, its museums, its sports teams, a variety of reasons you might love a city. But there's one reason why God loves Jerusalem, and that's because it is the city of his people, and he has poured out his love on his people specifically in the city of Jerusalem through his temple. And in the Old Testament, it was God's purpose and plan to show his special covenant love to the children of Israel. And he did that especially by putting his temple in Jerusalem. Because in the temple, God symbolically lived within the midst of his people. We would say not literally, because God cannot be contained in a building, but through the worship of the temple, God met with his people. It was a declaration of his presence and of his love, and he provided grace and mercy to his people through the sacrifices. And the people of God responded to his love with their own worship, and you can see that in the last two verses. In the last verse, both the singers and players on instruments say, all my springs are found in you. It's a poetic way of describing finding water in a wilderness and how much you would love that provision that God has given. It really is a beautiful response to God's love to his people. But the middle verses show that God's love was extended not just to the children of Israel. There was a primary purpose, and covenant blessings were identified especially with them. But God's love has always extended to the ends of the earth. And here, in the midst of that Old Testament time period, where the primary means of grace was through the children of Israel and through the temple, God was still telling of his purpose, a gospel that would go to the ends of the earth. This is how you see it. He says, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon of those who know me. Behold, Philistia, Tyre, and Ethiopia. Now, just in case you don't know who those people are, the first thing you should notice is that they're not Jews. They are not of the children of Israel. They're outside of that people of promise. It was a primary purpose to them, but here is God saying, I will also show love to these other people groups. And he mentions here, he says, of Tyre and he speaks of, he speaks, I've gotten lost on my page here, Tyre and Ethiopia as people groups that are far away, both physically and racially from the Jews. But then he mentions even the enemies of Israel. Rahab was an old-fashioned and poetic name for the nation of Egypt. No friend to Israel. And then he mentions Babylon, another aggressive, invading nation against the Jews. And Philistia? Can you name one person from Philistia? Probably you can name one. Goliath of Gath, the Philistine giant. The Philistines were notoriously invaders and enemies of the people of God. But what does God say of these people? This one and that one was born in her, in Jerusalem, amongst the people of God. And enlisting the people, as verse 5 describes, enlisting the people, he's describing a census that is taking place. There are actually quite a few censuses that were taken throughout the Bible. One notable one was when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. There was a record that was made of all of those who came out. You can read even the names of those family groups and individuals in the books of Numbers and Chronicles. The long lists of names that you might tend to skip over when you're reading through the Bible. They're kind of difficult to read because it is the names are not common to our tongue. They don't you don't follow along with them very well, but your eyes can kind of glaze over as you read that. But God put their names in the Bible. There was a sense that was taken. These are my chosen people. And it underlines the fact that God saves individuals, that individual people matter to God. Today you might go back and just read aloud those names of the people and remark at God's grace and favor shown to them and to you. But then remember that God is saying that it's not just Jewish people. These enemy people are also counted among my people of covenant love. And that's where I say here is God's glorious gospel program to take the message of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. Which leads us to Jesus. It has always been God's plan to save sinners, and it has always been his plan to do so through the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the temple sacrifices, all of the Old Testament promises are pointing forward to the one who does and is the only accomplishment of the forgiveness of sins. That is that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. He is the one who provides the grace that brings us into that census of God, to be one of the people of God. For there is another census at the end of the Bible. When Jesus Christ comes again, it is said that he will open up the Lamb's Book of Life. And those whose names are found in the Book of Life will be brought into the kingdom of heaven. A friend of mine, an RP pastor in Ireland, has said, there is a census that counts beyond all others, and it is still open. If your name is not yet written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it can be. Through trusting in the one who said, I have called you by name, you are mine. As we sing this throughout the month, I pray that you would remember that great census that is to come and rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're going to sing this throughout the month, Psalm 87b, and I'll do that now. I invite you to please stand to praise the Lord.